6:39.
6:39 PM, call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 25-282, moved by Counselor Pekinen, second by Counselor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held July the 2nd, 2025. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back into open sessions, we'll have a roll call once again.
Counselor Debbie Zulak.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Counselor Mike Pekinen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We have Resolution 25-283, moved by Counselor Ryland, second by Counselor Pekinen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby approve the minutes of the June 17, 2025 regular meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 15.1, planning matters, we have. Resolution 25-284, moved by Counselor Zulak, second by Counselor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby receive the zoning bylaw amendment application submitted by Christopher Moffett, proposing to rezone the property located at 70 Burnett's Road from waterfront residential 2, WF2, to rural, RU, as required by consent application number B05/2024, Moffett. And further, the council deems the application to be complete in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act. Discussion? I still have the question, I guess, and it's need explanation, because it looks as if this is the same application form that we have. It was explained that the diagram, or the actual plan, shows that there's another two something meters along with the 57, so it works out to 60 meters. However, I guess my problem is, in the actual application, in the form itself, it still says 57.48. I'm wondering why they wouldn't have put 60 in there if the plan shows it. That's a little confusing, that they didn't actually write in the correct amount. Now, I'm still concerned about the depth, it's neither here nor there, it doesn't change anything, but how the depth could change from their first application, like, over a year ago, into this one, even though they haven't changed the lots as far as depth goes to any great extent. But part one, a year ago, the depth was 243 meters, now it's 214. And the hectare for area a year ago was 2.5, now it's 2.1, which makes some sense, because they're taking some property off to make it 20 meters instead of 10. The actual for part three, the separate part, the depth a year ago was 243 meters, and now it's 213 meters. But the actual 20 meter allowance, road allowance as such, to the benefiting lot wouldn't have changed the depth any. So I'm just not sure about the accuracy of the application itself, but maybe, Carly, you've talked to somebody, I think, to get confirmation about the 60 meters?
I did, I contacted the surveyor, and he verified that there is 60 meters frontage for part one.
So I guess it's up to council whether you want to accept that confirmation from the surveyor as opposed to confirmation from the applicant, who was hired. The applicant hired the surveyor, but I'm just saying the application itself, and I know there have been mistakes made in the application form in the past. Is council okay with the fact that it says 57.48 frontage and it's actually 60 according to the plan? Councilor Zula.
So is it a problem for them to change the application to read properly?
No, and when submitting it to our third-party planner, I would specify that there is an error in the application and the frontage needs to be 60 meters to satisfy our zoning bylaw.
Councilor Keck.
The only issue is that the public viewing the council package is going to see the 57.48 meters. And they're, you know, that's the number they're going to see in this application.
The email I received from the surveyor is attached, also confirming the frontage of 60 meters for the public to see as well.
Any further discussions on this one? Oh, Councilor Zula.
Well, myself personally, I'd like to see it go back and have the application corrected.
So are you suggesting we defer this until we get a clarification or a rewritten application?
That's okay.
And then there was the issue of the depth
yeah.
variable, so what is the correct number for that?
Yeah, it actually meets the minimum, but it's just confusing that it would change that much. So we're not sure what's accurate and what isn't, I guess, in the figures. It's been deferred once to get more information. I don't know whether they were given any direction to, I don't know, but resubmitting an application, that costs money, I think, but how would that be done? It looks like we just got the same one that they sent in before, with confirmation from the surveyor. Was the applicant told that it had to be revised, or?
No, I contacted the agent for the applicant
right.
to see that the 60-meter frontage was satisfied, and then the agent forwarded me to the surveyor, whom I got the confirmation from. So the application wasn't amended, although the agent is aware that the frontage needs to be 60 meters to satisfy the zoning bylaw.
Could we make a condition of the approval that they provide us with a new document that confirms the following? Right. 1, 2, 3.
Just timing wise, once an application is deemed complete, then the clock starts with the Planning Act, so that can kind of get a bit complicated.
Okay.
So I would either recommend fully deferring for the application to be amended or council moving forward with the application, and it will be communicated to the planner that 60 meters frontage needs to be a part of the planning report to satisfy the zoning bylaw. As if it weren't 60 meters, then we'd be looking at a special provision, which the applicant is not looking for. They're just looking for the rezoning.
So your wish is defer?
Yep, to be amended, to have the application amended. Because, as you say, as Councillor Kekkonen said, you know, the public is going to see that, not the 60 meters, and that's what our should be 60 meters.
And the motion that's on the table says that further that council deems this application to be complete. Well, do we actually feel that way?
No, I don't.
Okay, call the question for deferral. All those in favor? Deferred it is. To 15.2, resolution 25-285, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Ryder. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has no objections to the approval of consent application number B08/2025 Madigan, as applied for by Eugene Madigan, subject to the following conditions. 1, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland is required in the Township of McKellar fees and charges bylaw. 2, 911 addressing for the proposed new lot.
online tonight, but I can take back any questions council may have, or if you wanna ask them, I may be able to answer them.
Councilor Pickman?
Section 6.1, not that it really matters, but just wondering, so it has the severed lot as the 1 hectare where the residence is, and it has the retained lot as the 26.7 hectare lot that the applicant is not retaining. The applicant would be retaining the severed lot 1. That's where they live, is on the severed lot 1.
Is there anybody living there now? His actual house is up on another piece of property. This is the lower part, so I don't think
so. It's not where the, that's not where the house is.
No, his house is on another piece above this, the way I read it, and this is where the old house was. I don't know whether it's still standing there or not. There was an old vehicle parked there too for the longest time. So I think we're looking at two different pieces of property.
I think that 797 Highway 124 isn't that the retained lot? And that's what right out of McKellar Lake Road.
The way I would interpret that is that where his house is a separate parcel. He's across from McKellar Lake Road, yes. Whereas further south, it looks to me like it's a separate piece of property that goes up down around the lake and actually is that's our road allowance that we've opened up for the trail, Balsam Trail that comes out through there. And so I'd ask too about the MTO approval, and apparently there's a driveway there already. Accessing the old property that was there. It was an old house there, a small house.
Okay, so it is.
Yeah, so the retained is not where he's living, no.
Yeah, so it's not showing that on the one map here.
No, the map really didn't show. Well, it does show the property that's in question, I guess.
Yeah, but it doesn't show the, except on this one here. Okay.
He owns both pieces, I think. So.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's.
But you mentioned 6.1, and I guess it was just a question I asked our planner, Carly. For depth, it's got 155 meters, and also the other side of the depth is 71 meters. And I'm thinking the meter we would take would be the lowest one. He can't make 155 meters on the south side. It's only 71. So in the application, it says it's 155. I think it should be 71.4.
Okay.
Which still is within, I think it's 45 meters for depth, so no problem. Any further discussion, questions?
Just a...
Councilor Mazzulla?
Yeah, just one question on 6.5. Under the retain, there's nothing there for like septic tank or anything, is that right?
Right, it's just vacant land.
Vacant land, okay. Because I was thinking that's where the house was. Yeah.
Yeah, it just goes around the south part of McEwen Lakes.
Yeah, okay.
I guess the other question I had, and I noticed that Patrick had put it in his report, that's why I was going to ask him. He talks about the frontage. There's a fish habitat type 1 over most of it. But he'd indicated in page 7 of his report that there's 15.8 meters of clear frontage from the northern end of the proposed severed lot. And I guess my question for him would have been, that used to be in our old policy. There used to be a distance of 15 meters. That was somehow removed for the last version we have, and I can't find it anywhere, the 15 meters that's clear. That used still have a severance, but I'm just not sure what happened to that on our older document. And I don't think it's in the new one either. He's going by what used to be there and what many townships still have. If you have 15 meter clear frontage, then you're okay. It's even if those type one all around it. So I'd just like that clarified where he's getting that from based on our documents. I thought it was a good thing that we had in there, but it's just that I can't find it anymore. It's removed. And since it's something we used to go by, I have no problem with using that. Any other questions? Councilor Zulak?
Yeah, just can you explain 8.2, what it says historic severance of adjacent lands? Has the land ever been the subject of a consent under Section 53 of the Planning Act? And he has, yes, historic severance of adjacent lands. What is that?
That may be where his house is, and it was all piece of the one big property, and then it's been severed, so his house would be separate from this piece.
Okay.
That's all I can interpret. But.
Okay.
Which would make some sense, because I think that was a separate parcel. I wasn't sure how big it was, but and it sounds like he severed off where he built the house from the other piece of the property. Because above that, there was another property owner, another driveway, across from McKellar Road, just beside his house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a separate parcel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would assume he's done.
So, the proposed consent would create one new waterfront lot with frontage on Highway 124 and McEwen Lake. And then on page 5, right in the middle, there's one sentence that says the proposal is to sever two rural lots in accordance with the official plan policy.
Yeah, I think he was cutting and pasting and probably put in the wrong line there. In Patrick's report, we could have it confirmed with him, but yeah, it doesn't belong there. That's not the proposal, like you say. As long as we know what the proposal is. And in the application itself, the form, that's what it's showing, sever the one waterfront lot. Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.1. We have resolution 25-286, moved by Councilor Beckman, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the May 8, 2025 meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Discussion? I'm just finding it a bit confusing, I guess, as a bystander. Maybe Councillor Bryan can answer this. I'm not sure what's minutes and what's been done from before. Could we shorten the minutes a little bit to the actual meeting itself?
Yes. Because some people, I guess, had kind of difficult to make the meetings, so this is kind of a history of all the items that were discussed rather than an update or rather than minutes per se. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, if you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But at least this way we kind of go through and we really only discuss, I'm just looking here, yeah, where there's a well, in this case, an asterisk. It used to be an X, but that was in the second column from the left, whereas others were not discussed unless somebody wanted to bring it up or unless there was an update for it. And that does happen, too, because some of the members' action items individually within their mandate, I'm not suggesting otherwise, just that so sometimes Jennifer wouldn't know that somebody had an update for that item, so it's fluid, it'd be a polite phrase for it, but if that's what you want, we could do that and just say, and just limit it to the items that were discussed and approved during the meeting.
Yeah, I would think for the committee itself,
Yeah.
But for the public, yeah, I would think if you just, the minutes of the actual meeting itself will be accomplished, and maybe Carly or Mary could speak to that too. I think it'd make it easier if you've done minutes now for forever. So if there are any suggestions you could make to Jennifer, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah, we could just rename this as a
report.
An action item report, yeah. Right. And then the other ones would be minutes, right? And yeah. And but it is surprising sometimes that things that don't appear to have any action happening since the last meeting do indeed. Particularly the reptile stuff, the turtles and snakes and others. I mean, that came up at our last meeting, although I don't think this is that meeting. But in any event, yes, it would make it much smaller, much easier to understand what was discussed at the meeting. So.
Yeah, it's good to, I think other committees, I'm not sure, I can't speak to all of them, the agenda is set up so that the public is aware of what's going to be discussed at that meeting.
Yes.
And if you start discussing other things that aren't on the agenda, then it's probably not fair to the public either. They might have listened in. I don't know how many listened into your meetings, but the opportunity's there.
Usually no more than one.
Yeah.
But.
And it's still, I mean, they had very faithfully at the beginning had published on the site, the township website, their agendas and their minutes and that. It seems to be falling off a bit. Especially for agendas, that is the public aware of upcoming meetings, I guess, is the question. So.
Yeah, it's valid. Yeah. We can tighten it up quite a bit. So,
and I, yeah, and in regards to that, I think the historical committee needs to have a link on the township website and recreation committee too for agendas and minutes. So, something to work on for the committees.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? I'll call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.2, resolution 25-287, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the CAO reports for March/April 2025 and May 2025 of the District of Parry Sound Social Services Administration Board. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to staff report 17.1. And resolution 25-288, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received report in MIN-2025-10, St. Stephen's Church easement for parking area and portable toilets from Carly Britton, Clerk Administrator, for information purposes, and further, the Council confirms it has received, reviewed, and agrees with the terms of the easement for RP-42R-22755, Part 1. Discussion.
So there is for the transfer of easement, and I guess these are the clauses, and this is 1.1, transfer of easement, and further down it says, it's near the end of that paragraph, and it talks about tree removal as mutually agreed upon between the transferor and the transferee. So, how does that agreement take place? Because, and is there a timeline? Because that can completely hold up a project if there isn't, that process isn't somehow laid out.
And that's why it was highlighted within the document. Does council want to have a process? Having it mutually agreed upon is a neighborly. Is neighborly, and you know, we don't want to be cutting down trees that they may not want to be cut. So if processes need to be happening in writing, if there's time frames, we were just looking more for a direction on that part. Or if the township just notifies the property owner what trees will be taken down and they have X amount of days to respond, something like that.
So have they seen because it's pretty, like it says, the foregoing includes the right to construct, operate, maintain, inspect, patrol, alter, remove, replace, reconstruct, repair, or use such works as may be required by the transferee, including without limitation the removal of earth, grading, placement of gravel, tree removal as mutually agreed upon between the transferee and the transferee, installation of signage, placement of portable toilets, and all such other structures, equipment, and penetrances.
There's a word.
It may be necessary, useful, or convenient in connection with or incidental to the rights transferred herein. Because some of these other actions are quite a bit more intrusive, and it is good to be able to, you know, come to a mutual agreement that there's a matter of, I think there's four trees.
Okay.
One is dead, so I don't know, just it is good that everyone's on the same page, so there's no surprises, but all these other actions are quite intrusive and are not requiring any mutual.
It's probably a standard clause for easements. That's why it went in there, but you're right, it can be adapted and to what's satisfactory. I haven't talked to the people you have, so I think it could be adapted. It's probably just put together, this is from the solicitor,
mm-hmm.
put together to protect the township, that with an easement you should be able to do these things without the owner actually stopping you. So, but if you think it should be limited in what can be done on that lot, problem with that, as long as we can accomplish what we're trying to achieve here. I don't know what happens if you get to the stage where you say that we have to remove this tree and the owner says no. If you have the easement, you can. So I don't know, that they have to understand, I guess, that they're giving up some of their rights to their own property as soon as they agree to an easement. So you're trying to make it as agreeable as possible to them, that they know what's going to happen, which makes sense. So is there any problem with adapting that and maybe not putting all those things in that aren't required?
Right, so like as mutually agreed upon between the transferor and the transferee can be removed. We just had that as like an act of good faith for tree removal, but that can be removed knowing that the property owners are allowing the township to have this easement and there will be changes to the property.
So remove the last part of that sentence, as mutually agreed upon by the transferor and the transferee.
Correct.
So I'm just reading further down, rights of transfer, that's 3A, section 2. The transferor shall have the right, in conjunction with all members of the public, to use and enjoy the tract provided, however, without the prior written consent of the transferee. The transferor shall not remove or permit to be removed any soil tract. So it's we're being given sort of broad, like there's no, I have no concerns the way it's written, just sort of it's very broad what the township will be allowed to do, and then the transferor they have to provide written consent to remove some things. So,
yeah, in a sense, they're giving up their rights to their own property. That they're saying that if you want to do anything now, you have to come back to the township because the township has the easement.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do what you might have done on that piece of property without the approval of the township.
Which makes sense because the township is investing in the materials and that for labor involved in making the parking area, and if they start transporting out the materials that made the parking area, then
yeah,
that's a bit of an issue. So
we could build a swimming pool there.
So anyways, just we will make every effort to consult with them that, hey, we're going to be starting to create the parking lot. But I think if it's written here, that second part of that sentence, then there's no process laid out here, so then it could hold up the whole project for months. But it's great to see this in process and moving along for sure.
Yes, we have a deadline.
so now the council is agreeing with the terms of this easement, then it, what happens now, it gets presented to the...
Correct. The terms of the easement will be presented to the property owners. They'll have an opportunity to comment and provide suggestions if they wish. If they agree to the terms, then we move forward with putting the easement on title.
And I think it did say in the report somewhere that if we were able to start working on the project.
Correct. So when I...
I think on the next page.
When I tell the solicitor the results of tonight's meeting, I'll also mention to the property owner to request that we, the township wishes to do work on the property prior to the registration of the easement.
Okay, great, thank you.
Any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. A resolution 25-289, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives a report at MIN-2025-09, quotes for St. Stephen's Church roof painting and creation of parking spaces, as submitted by Mary Smith, Deputy Clerk, for information purposes. And further, that Council directs staff to engage JT Excavation and Fabrication for the construction of parking spaces at St. Stephen's Church at the quoted amount of $4,410 plus applicable HST of $573.30 for a total cost of $4,983.30 as outlined in their submission dated May 16, 2025. And further, that the treasurer be directed to allocate the necessary funds from the cultural reserve account to fully support the costs associated with this parking space project at St. Stephen's Church. Discussion?
Oh, I just was wondering, so once this is passed, do you know when they would start work?
So in the estimate provided here, it does say start date to be approximately at the end of July and no later. So that's the start date.
Mm.
So that's a little bit concerning. That should be the end date, is the end of July. But hopefully we can have discussions with them and ensure that this moves along as promptly as possible.
It shouldn't take them long to do that.
No, it shouldn't. But then again, there's always other things that can creep into their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, we can add a completion date onto the resolution if you wish.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
It can be added on the resolution, but when it comes down to actual scheduling the contractor, that may not be reality, but we can push the date that it needs to be done by the end of July when we contact them.
Yes, because that gives us approximately 3 weeks that if it's sort of any indication that it's not going to be moving forward or completed in time for August 22nd, then we can start thinking of Plan B.
So there'd be a formal contract with this company where the end date could be included, or do you get into negotiations there?
Yeah, if we do a formal contract with like a fee for late, with the project being delayed or whatnot, that would be an agreement through our solicitor, which would add to the time and money.
Yeah, no, this is what do they refer to as? An informal estimate, a low value estimate. I'm sure it'll be completed as soon as possible, but I think we just have to make sure, because there is sort of time constraints on when we need it then,
You certainly don't want them working on it while you're doing the presentation. Can you move your vehicles here? We have to get the dozer in.
Have we heard of this company before?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had good reviews, and they do want to, you know, work with the township on the project and get it completed. So I think that there won't be any issues, but just to ensure that there's no misunderstanding about that there is a deadline that it needs to be completed, that we include this date in the resolution. And thanks for staff for getting the estimates and putting this report together. I think the report was very good. Sort of emphasized the importance that the St. Stephen's Community Hub will have going forward, and I think that was great. Thank you.
We do have another resolution for council to consider with regards to the painting. It was also included in the report as well.
Okay, so we'll do this one again. So the amendment is that we just added at the very end, after the further that, we've got another further that the project be completed by July 31st, 2025. So I'll call the question on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed? That's carried. And then the resolution as amended with that amendment added. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-290, moved by Councillor Cuckinan, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives report admin-2025-09, St. Stephen's Church roof painting and parking space development update, as submitted by Mary Smith, Deputy Clerk, for information. Further, that two verbal quotations have been received to date for the painting of the church roof, and staff have provided preliminary cost estimates for completing the work using internal resources. Further, the council directs staff to proceed with the painting of St. Stephen's Church roof using internal resources at a preliminary estimated cost of $5,746.43, noting that this estimate is for planning purposes only and may be subject to adjustments following further review. And further, that the treasurer be directed to allocate the necessary funds from the Historical Committee reserve account to fully support the costs associated with this parking space project at St. Stephen's Church. Discussion?
So both of these motions that we're discussing are resolutions. Just because the Historical Committee aren't planning to have an official meeting until September 2025, that they have allowed, you know, the council to review, you know, the proposals for, you know, regarding the parking lot and to pass the motions to get things moving forward. And so as well, this one here is something that would, the committee would like to have completed before August 22nd. And so there were several different contractors, individuals contacted, and there was no response from two of them. But we did hear verbally that one of them was able possibly to fulfill the requirements of what is needed for the roof, and but it seemed like they were going to complete it in one day, whereas the internal resource is going to be doing it over 4 or 5 days, which is really what we need, because the roof fasteners, when the roof was fastened, was used with roofing nails with the lead gasket. And if you go take a look at the roof, you can see that there's quite a few of them that are loose. Mm-hmm. And there's no use painting a roof when you have loose roof fasteners. You know, it just increases the rate of which the paint will start peeling. And as well, you want the roof to be in place, particularly in bad shape, is the west windward facing side. So that is getting a lot of stress on it, and that whole edge, there's a lot of fasteners loose on that edge, so the historical committee wants it done right so that it's gonna last. We've already seen some of the work of the internal resource, and they've done a great job, so.
Okay, I have a couple questions with this resolution. One says that it's an estimate, may be subject to adjustments following further review. Now, to be honest, I haven't seen the verbal estimate quotation, because it was verbal, I guess. We have it written somewhere, and who has seen it? Historical committee?
The historical committee seemed to have two previous estimates, but they were both verbal. So really the only ones that have seen it is, I think, myself and staff.
Because I'm thinking, before we make a decision on this, I mean, we need something a little more concrete. I would think that a verbal doesn't mean an awful lot. Usually it's in writing, and they've signed it, explaining what they're going to do, the nature of the work, and when it's going to be done. Like we put in the hospital, but we haven't seen anything. And so it's a little hard to say that, yes, we agree with this, when council is the decision-making body because of the historical reports to council. Doesn't really have an awful lot of information to go on.
So it's the costs, because it's a township employee that's doing the painting, then the township will be paying for the paint, employee hours, which is approximately 44 hours, which equals approximately $1,500. The paint is approximately $750, and it's a good quality roofing paint. And the greatest expense is the lift, 65-foot articulating lift, or a 45-foot genie lift, and that's approximately $2,000 for the week, so that's what it breaks down to.
Again, that's all well and good, but we don't have it in front of us. We don't have any.
Could
this individual provide something in writing saying that this is the cost, as we do with most RFPs? And it can't just be a verbal, I don't think, for us to make a call on it.
I think this is a little different because it's not someone submitting.
Well, he's going to get paid,
yeah,
for doing the work,
for the hours, but the township is directly paying for the paint and the.
That's right, but we don't even know who this person is. You say a township employee. I just want to make sure that everything is, copacetic. That we're taking your word for it. That was a fair process. It was the quotations were received, but we just don't have any of that information. So as a council, to make a decision. The other, and I know time is of the essence here, but I want to make sure it's done correctly. The other big concern I have, because we had asked for this before, the person who had submitted a bid for that same roof, his workers' comp. You know, what liability coverage does he have? As representatives of the township, I think we should be concerned about that if something happens. Does our insurance cover this employee? Is this employee a roof painter, or how is this employee hired? There's so many things we don't know.
Well, so that employee, they did paint the township fire department building at Station 2, and so basically they're volunteering their expertise but getting paid the time to do it. So that's what we're going by, is the quality of work that was done at Station 2, and they had painted it according to the same process. It didn't have to go through an estimate. So, and I believe that there's a possibility they're going to be painting other municipal assets at some point in time.
Well, that's all well and good, but I'm still concerned about the liability factor. If this person falls off the roof, who's sued?
They're not climbing on a roof. That's why there's an articulating So everything's being done in a way that ensures the utmost safety and ability to work in a comfortable manner. So how were they covered when they painted the fire station number two?
That's a good question.
So
Councilor Zulai.
So when the fire station was painted, were they a volunteer firefighter that did it?
Yes, they are
firefighters. I'm just wondering if something had happened, would he have been covered because he was on the fire department? I'm just wondering if maybe if he joined the historical committee and then volunteered his time to do it.
Right.
Could he do that?
These are all valid questions. Like, we always want to ensure that you know, we're limiting liability to the township and, you know, covering all bases. So, you know, I agree it's good to ask these questions.
Now we need the answer.
So would the person be covered if they were part of the historical committee?
I don't know for a fact. It's a little loose, I think, on what volunteers are covered for. It says they're fully covered in that insurance, but we were going to look after that, changing that the form that they sign, because I'm not sure that there's any guarantee that they are covered. And certainly not as a firefighter doing the roof wouldn't qualify, but maybe as a historical committee member they could. I don't know, and I know the time is really important here, but we just want to make sure that we've covered everything, that there are no mishaps.
So if somebody out of the generosity of their heart wanted to do that for the St. Stephen's Church, volunteered to paint the roof.
Yeah, like the historical committee members right now are working on the inside of St. Stephen's Church, working on a project there. So this is
what
all
happens if somebody fell and broke their leg inside the church? Would they be covered? Like, you know, one of the committee members. So I'm saying if he was a committee member and he said, I'll do the roof, do they have money in the account to pay for the paint and everything?
The historical committee?
Yeah.
Yes, because that's where the money's coming from.
Okay.
It's the reserve account. Well, so this becomes a very broad question then. So, like, you know, at the fireworks display at Broadbent, you know, what did the insurance cover in that situation?
So can you find out if a committee member, if they're covered in any way, would that work? And then if they were covered, he could become a committee member?
I know we've looked at it in the past, last couple of years, trying to get a straight answer. And I know the policy says that they're covered under the township liability insurance, but I just needed that confirmed and I guess written a little more clearly, because I've always been under the impression too that yes, you may be covered, but it may be your own insurance is used up first of all, and then the township insurance clicks in. I just need confirmation from the insurance company whether a committee member doing something like this would be covered. I think that would be great to get that information.
A committee member or a volunteer?
Even a volunteer, yeah, because a volunteer certainly.
Yeah, because rather than have a person join the committee for no other reason,
right,
if they were just simply the designated volunteer that offered to do the job, and again, I don't know the answer any more than the rest of us do, but I would think that they should be covered somehow. But it's worth asking the question, especially if we don't have anything in writing at this point. All that paperwork would be requested, I assume, by the insurance company if there was an incident. But
because I think I'm thinking of the situation down on Fire Route 152, there were people using their own equipment and repairing that road as an unassumed township road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got information then, we can have this confirmed, but that they were not covered by township insurance, even though they're on a township road. So I'd have to have that clarified, that even if they're doing volunteer work as such, something from the insurance company that, and maybe the specific situation we're talking about. I don't know how long that would take, but.
Our insurance account manager is currently on vacation, but she should be back next week.
What about the person's own personal insurance? Maybe it says something in there that he would be covered, like for if he did volunteer work or, you know, something. Do you think that would be possible?
Most likely they, if they are doing this as, you know, part of something that they do on their own time, they maybe have insurance for that.
Yeah.
So, and then once again, how were they covered when they painted the fire hall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had questions about that too, if you remember. So I don't know how that went down, really. We'd have to talk to the fire chief on that one, but it was sort of taking counsel. I don't recall a resolution. Maybe there was. Or was it just Rob putting out feelers to see, and he didn't get anybody interested and then decided to do it this way? So it sounds like more of an internal thing that he did, but I don't have facts for that.
Yeah, something came to council, and there was a... Yeah.
Was.
Maybe, I think he was explaining what the process was he was going to go through again.
You were saying that he wasn't doing it the right way or something. I remember something coming before us.
For clarity, what are we asking Carly to find out? Just if they would be insured if they were a volunteer for the historical committee or for the council?
Well, I'm going to give the insurance company the current situation and then ask if that's covered, and if it's not, then plan B if he was a member of the historical committee / a volunteer.
Yeah, that seems to be
a
straightforward issue, but
sorry.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can find out through the person himself if he's covered?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, if that changes the insurance company's perspective on either of those other two scenarios.
Because I have a son that works in that kind of business. It doesn't do roof painting, but does do roof work. I know that a typical employee has to have training in working at heights and need a certificate to work at heights, right? Even if you're in a, I can't remember what you called it, a boom,
yeah.
Anyhow, because you're still at heights, and that's a really big deal in his industry, is that you have to have that, and they can demand it if they catch you on a job site and say, where's this, right? So, and the last thing I want to do is put roadblocks in the way of getting this done, and there may be some simpler way, but I don't think anybody in this room knows what it might be, so.
No, and as you say, you don't want it to be treated as a roadblock, but again,
yeah.
Again, you want to protect citizens of the township.
Of course.
So you don't want a lawsuit.
No. But I mean, if they could submit a written quote, handwritten quote, it's fine with me. If it's dated and signed and, you know, all the rest, that's something. And especially in terms of an insurance incident, you'd want to have paperwork that supports what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it doesn't have to be fancy. I don't think, you know, it's scribble here and there and there. You're done.
Yeah, like if he does this on the side, he must have some kind of
maybe
insurance, and then really you've already gone out and asked for quotes from a couple, right?
Yes.
So you're covered that way if he could put in a quote, and if he has insurance that covers him, then it should be no problem.
My recollection of the fire hall is that I think it's Dave Manchuk, who's our deputy chief. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I've now lost that train of thought, other than I recall him saying to me, if to nobody else, that was one of the things that he did on the side was do painting. Right? I don't remember saying roof painting or anything like that, but so therefore he may run this as a business, in which case he may have insurance, in which case it makes the issue moot, right? So, but again,
maybe
that's just a recollection. I wouldn't bet my life on it, that's for sure, so.
Yeah, we can have that clarified.
Yeah.
Through the insurance company and through the person who's willing to do it, whether personal insurance.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. It's not a company. It's an individual, right? So, well, maybe he is a company. I don't know. So, your resolution, deferral?
So just, let's see.
It's a timeline, I know.
And then, so, yeah, so as a volunteer as on the historical committee, or as a volunteer private citizen,
mm-hmm.
and then the qualifications that they have, whatever certificates they need as firefighters, sure they have certifications that are beyond what the ordinary person has, even if they have a working at height certificate.
Now that I think about it, they also want to add the word contractor in there too, because if they're being paid for it, then I can't miss most people's definition of volunteer work is I'm doing it for nothing. Right, and I know that may not be the legal definition, but it would merit to add the word contractor in there if indeed we're paying them, because I wrote this out and told you it was going to be $5,000 and now I'm going to bill you if you got to pay me. And again, I'm not trying to make it worse, I really am not. So.
Yeah, but I don't think it's actually a contractor, it's a volunteer that's doing it and the township's paying for materials.
Yeah, but as Councilor Rodden says, looking at this, it's probably more than material. Probably his time as well. I don't know. We haven't seen anything in writing, so we don't know. Maybe he's donating all of his time. But
and that's fine.
And maybe that $5,700 is all material. I don't know.
Well, this will be very interesting to see how this pans out.
So, call for the deferral. All those in favor? One opposed? So it's carried. Carried in the sense of deferred. To 17.3. We have resolution 25-291, moved by Councilor Pekkanen, seconded by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives staff report PW-2025-05, request for proposal OSIM inspections for municipal bridges and culverts from Thomas Stoneman, Public Works Superintendent, for information purposes, and further that the request for proposal, the RFP, be awarded to Tulloch Engineering in the amount of $7,000 plus HST of $910 for a total bid of $7,910 for the 2025 inspection period. And further, that the township continues to work with Tulloch Engineering in 2027 and 2029, contingent upon satisfactory performance in 2025. Discussion? Councilor Zula?
I have no problem with public, but I'm just sort of iffy about the more than 1 year, because like council may change and then the new council would be committed to that. And also if we aren't happy with their work.
I think he was, no, I can't speak for our public works super, but he's looking for some continuity that you wouldn't be changing and you wouldn't be subject to a major price increase in 2027.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
That they're sort of committed to this. I guess it can still be negotiated, changed, but, and I think the big question here was the measurements that are required now in this OSIM, that they would only have to do it once, or they haven't been asked to do that before, so the more involved, and that's why I thought maybe the first year would be the most expensive in order to do that extra work, and then the other 2 years would be cheaper because they wouldn't have to repeat all of that unless the bridges have changed in some fashion. But it looks like most of them are going up each year, maybe not the fact that they don't have to do the work again, but just the cost of what they're doing. Everything seems to rise. I think they're couple that went the other direction, but most did increase in the third year.
So if we did it for more than 1 year, it'll be more expensive next year, wouldn't it be? Or they're going to stay at that price?
That would be the price as well.
That would be the price?
What they're putting in, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I think that's the reason you wanted to go this route to see what the market is, because if you just stick with the same one, you have no comparables to know whether you can get a better deal and maybe the same quality. That's not to say anything
the price does increase in 2027 and 2029.
Right.
So it won't stay the same as what is in the resolution here. 2027 will be $500 more, and 2029 will be $1,000 more than what we're agreeing to in this year, if it's contingent upon the satisfactory performance in 2025.
That's fair. Let's face it, inflation impacts everybody, so that's not, I don't think that's unreasonable at all. So.
No, I was just thinking, like it's a reasonable price that they've put in there, but if in the next year, you know, they went up to the 38 or something.
Yeah.
Well, there's always that option of retendering. I mean, I think, as the resolution states, it's satisfactory performance in 2025, and then you would be negotiating. The figures are there, what they're suggesting for the next 2-year report, but if they say, well, that's okay, but we're not going to charge it the same, or we're going to double the price, then that's when you would open up to maybe another RFP.
And I think we'll be able to quite rapidly be able to determine if the if it's a satisfactory report, because we have previous versions of the reports that we can compare it to.
Okay, any further discussion on that? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Status updates for June 2025. The fire department. Any comments on that?
Councilor Peckin.
So page 2 of 2, our second last paragraph talks about the digital upgrade to our radio system will take place this summer to coincide with the new dispatch system being installed in the hospital. So I think at one time there was discussion of proposing station number 2 as being the dispatch location for the area of dispatch of the radio systems. So I guess the hospital was selected as the location for dispatch.
How many years back are we talking?
Just a few years, because that's why they painted station number 2, was because they wanted to make it
presentable if they decided that they would do. I remember him talking about it here.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, so it's more central, I guess, of deciding to go through the dispatch there. This numbering system, I hope they have it figured out, because it seems to be more confusing than it was before, but now, mentions changes to the fireworks bylaw. That was passed last time, with the wording of that?
Correct, but the fire chief noted in the last meeting that he wants to bring the fireworks bylaw back in the fall to make additional, more changes at that time.
Okay, and do we have the updated wording on the township website?
I don't believe so. We will change it on the website.
Okay.
Chain.
To check what insurance you have.
Thankfully, Carly writes these, not me, because if I wrote it, nobody'd be able to read a word.
So we have resolution 25-292, moved to Council of Zulak, second Council of Ryland. Resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report FD-2025-08, the month-end status updates for June 2025, from Fire Chief Ronald Morrison for information purposes. Further discussion?